Hello and welcome to the journalism.co.uk podcast, a show where we bring you insights from media industry experts to help journalists do their jobs better. I'm your host, Jacob Granger. Today, we're talking about how regional sports journalism can focus more on its audiences and less on its advertisers. Sam Morsehead has been a sports journalist for 16 years, and he's worked for many of the top newsrooms, PA Media, Mail Online, and his local NewsQuest own title. But he saw sports reporting go the same way as a lot of other areas of news, scaling through low-quality news stories that yield high page views and ad impressions. But he's fed up with that business model, so he's launched an alternative which puts value ahead of volume. Counterpress is a publishing platform he's created to launch his news website, The Moonraker, which covers his local team, Swindon Football Club. For the last 6 months, The Moonraker has built a steady 500-strong paying membership. This pays him a competitive salary for less than 2 days of work a week, meaning he can juggle other gigs at the same time. Now, he plans to expand the platform to other parts of the UK. Maybe something to think about for those of you with local sports teams that are undercovered or are not community first. For more on that, don't go anywhere. A big thanks to Memberful for sponsoring today's episode, the all-in-one membership solution for journalists and independent publishers. Now, it is so important these days to build loyal relationships with your readers and diversify your revenue streams. Memberful helps you to do exactly that with a range of different payment tiers and exclusive content options at your fingertips. Plus, it will integrate easily with all the tools you already use, like WordPress, MailChimp, Google Analytics, and Discord, so you can start monetizing your content without changing your existing workflow. Focus on telling great stories and let Memberful handle the rest. Visit memberful.com, that's memberful.com/journalismpod to get started for free. Sam, welcome to the journalism.co.uk podcast. Thanks ever so much for coming on our show today. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thanks very much for having me.
We're going to talk a lot today about how to sustain local sports journalism. You've come up with a really fascinating model here with Counterpress and how you've also developed that for The Moonraker. And I suppose that's where we kind of need to start just to understand this conversation in two parts. So as I understand it, Counterpress, this is the platform, right? This is what you've come up with as a way to expand local and regional sports journalism. Do you want to tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. So Counterpress is an idea that I've had for a long time. My background is from local journalism. It's where I started my career at the Swindon Advertiser as a trainee 15 years ago. And I've always been a massive fan of what local and regional press do, and concerned about the general direction that the industry has been going in over the last 10 to 15 years. And Counterpress basically is an idea to return local and regional services for reporting, specifically in this case sports reporting, back to two specific sets of people, and those are the creators, the journalists, and the community, their audience, and not focusing on some of the areas which have become a bit of an obsession for larger publishers who own so many of our local and regional media outlets, which is volume.
Mm. Is Counterpress supposed to be a pun of sorts, Sam? Because in one hand, it's breaking the mold of the press, right? But Counterpress being a sports publisher, the Jurgen Klopp style of football, no?
Yes, it has ultimately come out of that exact conversation. You've hit the nail on the head. I think that as Counterpress, we're not opposed to the press, but we are trying to counter the way in which press has traditionally been done, to try and create something new, something fresh, something in your face, something that gives you a new way of looking at things. And yes, that is what a Counterpress style of football, heavy metal football under Jurgen Klopp at football, that is the difference. We're trying to create something which gives people a fresh perspective and allows people to think that there is a new future for something that they care deeply about.
Yeah, I'm no football expert, Sam, just for the record, but my understanding of Counterpress is it's kind of like hounding the opposition into a mistake, right? You like coordinated pressure when they're playing out from the back or anything like that. So it was quite a revolutionary idea for football tactics when Jurgen Klopp sort of developed this system, right?
it basically speaks to the idea of being proactive, of being on the front foot, of showing your hand and trying to make a difference and force the opposition to do something wrong. In this case, I guess we as Counterpress as a platform aren't looking to force mistakes from others, but what we are looking to do is be proactive in a market which is consistently being reactive. What we're talking about with Counterpress as a platform is not entirely revolutionary. A lot of it is using similar strategy, but it's bundling it up in a different way, adapting it for a modern era, and going all out with something that hopefully does offer a fresh perspective.
I had to Google the other half of this, which is the Moonraker, which of course will be sort of everyday to people of Swindon. They'll know exactly what that means, but I didn't, not being from Swindon. It's the nickname of the local football team, isn't it?
So the Moonraker is a sort of old story about bootleg liquor runners in sort of prohibition ages or in ages of more puritanical regimes hiding their liquor in shallow ponds, and people walking by at night wondering why these people were raking their own reflection in these ponds when they were actually trying to fish out their barrels of liquor that they'd hidden in them. So it's a sort of term that people of Swindon have some sentimental stock from. It's a term that some people from down the road at Oxford, which is Swindon's nearest and fiercest rivals, use as a bit of a derogatory term. There are various historical connotations that relate Moonraker to Swindon. I think the main thing for us to show with it was how you can use branding and an identity that has significant influence and impact on a specifically small community to create your own new identity for a regional outlet, rather than going down the old model of having a place name and whatever suffix you want to have.
Nice. Okay, so I was a little bit off on my first kind of stab there, but suffice to say, people in the area in Wiltshire will be very familiar with this term.
Yeah, many will be, and particularly those with a Swindon Town allegiance. But the idea here was the target audience are people who are super interested in the one subject that this outlet covers, and the only thing that this outlet covers is Swindon Town Football Club, and those people will have a passable understanding of the Moonraker, and many will be able to identify with it spiritually or emotionally or historically or however you want to call it, so that we could achieve an instant buy-in and instant recognition with the brand from those local audiences.
Right, and so the reason we're talking about the Moonraker, just to be clear for our audience, is that this is the publication that you run based on the Counterpress platform, right?
Yes, that's right. So Moonraker operates off Counterpress. So it uses the first version of Counterpress and has effectively been the concept case for us to prove that we can generate levels of revenue from a standing start in a pretty average region, all things considered, when it comes to demographics, when it comes to the position of the football club, when it comes to its average attendance. And to show that we can create from it a product which earns a reasonable sized pot, and shows that Counterpress can function and the idea that Counterpress is based on can function. And from that, we can develop the platform better. We can expand it, and then we can start, as we will do this year, getting early adopters in other regions, covering other subjects or other clubs involved as we slowly build out what we will call the Counterpress network of outlets.
So let's stop and take a look at the numbers of the Moonraker in its first 6 months of operation. It currently has 530 members paying either £50 a year or £5 a month, and about two-thirds pay monthly with a 93% retention rate. Most of those came through a pre-launch offer on that membership, £37.50 a year or £3 a month for the first 3 months. And that member base has converted about 70% of those who registered an interest in the publication in the market research phase. Sam worked out that the Moonraker could have up to 800 members, factoring in the average attendance of the football club, about 7,000 supporters a game, Swindon FC's supporter base locally and worldwide, and the subscription base of the established rival newspaper, the Swindon Advertiser. Right now, Counterpress is looking for early adopters based around the UK and is not necessarily restricted to sports news. The platform offers a comprehensive starter pack of sorts, the basic CMS, newsletter features akin to Substack, but with more media branding and customization, all the accounts and analytic dashboards, and something to build out more in the future, legal support.
The idea for the next year is to get early adopters on board who think that they've got audiences which are not being served well by their local papers, or their local papers might not exist anymore, or there isn't a proper outlet which gives intelligent coverage of their club or other particular subject locally, and find those people who want to help us build this platform out as we go through the versions, as we continue to build. It will slowly but surely add increasing functionality so that you will be able to use Counterpress for all aspects of running a local media outlet from one dashboard.
Yeah, of course, the Substack model works on a revenue share basis, but the creators, you know, own their emailing list and they own their publications. Will this work in a similar way, or how does it work in terms of ownership?
Yeah, so the individual outlet is autonomous. Counterpress is not a publisher. Effectively, it's a tech platform. And each individual outlet is responsible for their own output. There is a need, obviously, to ensure that because of the networked element of it, that there's that output fits certain levels. But again, it is largely the responsibility of the individual licensee to run his or her or their outlet however they want to. So my opinion and that of Counterpress is that the reporter knows their audience better than anyone else, and it's up to them to generate the content that their audience wants to read about. And this is what the old model within local media is starting to fall away from, is because of this obsession with going for volume, when actually you can curate smaller audiences with smaller overheads, still make reasonable money and provide a service that is of value to the people who need that service. I think in a lot of cases where publishers are focused more on volume, we're losing track of what local media is meant to be there for, and that's the communities that it's meant to serve.
Right. Just so I understand that right, they'll pay a license to use the Counterpress platform, but actually the business model behind it is up to them, basically.
Yeah. So the Counterpress takes, so there's a license to use the platform, and there is a rake on subscriptions. So a commission on subscriptions, or whichever way you want to use it. But beyond that, Counterpress is not an employer of these individuals. They are their own bosses. They have their own direction of it. The money that they make, bar the license fee and the commission, that's their pot, to spend it as they want. Because they are self-employed, they have control over their editorial direction, and they have the ability to respond in ways that they think their audience wants to respond to. They aren't tied to any commercial deal that a nationwide publisher may have them tied to. You know, there's no necessity to publish X number of articles a day. You know, Moonraker frequently doesn't publish on a day, and it has maintained 500 plus paid subscribers because of the quality and the direction of the coverage that it does produce. And that's what local journalism should be about. It shouldn't be about expectations of volume. It should be about expectations of quality. And Counterpress is built to enable that quality.
Yeah, and I think you're onto something, because that lightweight model of just being able to start and, you know, be able to iterate has helped many local news organisations like, you know, The Mill on Substack, now on Ghost. But of course, Yoshi's managed to make this work in a market like Manchester, where there's like a big population. It's a major metropolitan city. You're kind of trying this on much smaller areas like Swindon, and I just wonder what's kind of the sweet spot here for this model. I mean, Swindon is a League Two, I think, football club. Am I right in saying that?
Right. Yeah.
So I mean, could you go smaller than that? Is this about the sweet spot? Do you think it could work in, you know, in for clubs and towns that are higher up in the football league? And of course, we're not just talking about football here as well. So, how do you see that playing out?
I think it can work wherever there is an audience that is loyal to a specific subject. I think the future of a lot of digital journalism is monetizing audience. I hate using the phrase, but monetizing audiences who have specific interest in certain subjects. And that is, for us, sport. And sport is a bit different to news. I feel it's why the networked element of Counterpress we believe works, is because people are interested not just in the sport that happens or the football that happens at Swindon Town, but they'll be interested in the news that's coming out of their League Two rivals, or they might be interested in stuff that's happened in the Premier League. And therefore that we can hopefully tie together all of these different outlets in time to create a different product. But you are specifically about whether it can work lower down with smaller audiences. I think it really depends on what the licensee wants to use it for. So Counterpress can generate enough revenue per individual for it to be a full-time job. For transparency, Moonraker is probably, I spend about a day and a half running Moonraker a week, and it generates in the region of 25 to 28 grand a year on a sort of pro rata basis. Now, if I was to do it full-time, would that number go up by the same amount, by in a ratio? I don't think it would. It would probably go up, but it wouldn't go up by the same proportions by working an extra X number of days a week. But what I'm saying is you don't necessarily need for it to be a 60-hour a week job to make it work. And it could be part of a portfolio of businesses or separate work that reporters can have within their armory to earn, whilst also providing a service and generating enough cash for them to pay their bills and to enjoy some sort of comfort of living. So there's no reason why it can't be a success at larger clubs. Steve Chicken in Huddersfield, who left the Huddersfield Examiner a couple of years ago, has done a superb job with his own Substack, for example, which has four figures in subscribers. And they're a division above, but they have a significantly larger average attendance than Swindon. They're a recent Premier League team. Counterpress can enable that on a wider scale, but also interconnect all of these outlets so that there is a sort of collective responsibility of growing the idea of regional sports journalism across the country, providing additional value to readers, yeah, and at the same time earn a wage doing a skill that is important to the basic fabric of local communities, and which local communities value too.
Right. I think there's a lot of fascinating things in there, Sam. I mean, first of all, a lot of people work in local news full-time and earn less than 28 grand a year. So to be able to have that potential, doing it part-time alongside presumably, you know, other gigs that you pursue, could make for a very fascinating, you know, portfolio career of sorts. I mean, what do you do outside of the Moonraker? Is, you know, just the journalist?
Yeah, sure. Well, obviously Counterpress is one part of it, but I do digital marketing consultancy and digital media consultancy for some cricket travel brands, supporters tours and stuff like that. And that's the money that pays the majority of my bills. Yeah. A lot of the money that has come into Moonraker so far has been redistributed back into Counterpress. So this year I'm not earning particularly from what I'm doing for Moonraker. And I've also made it pretty clear that I want to put that money back into the community. So there, I've made several charitable donations to projects that are linked to Swindon Town and the community that is subscribing to the work that I'm doing. So for me, it's not necessarily the earning potential, but for others it will be. So, you know, at a local paper, if you're earning 24 or 25 grand a year to cover your club, you're not allowed to then freelance for other nationals covering the club. If you're owning your own Counterpress outlet, you can write for whoever you want every week about your club as well. So there is no reason why you couldn't pick up all the local snippets for the nationals, whether you can't do the PA copy for match reports. There's no reason why you can't write for 442 on a monthly basis if you wanted to, and keep topping up your earnings from your your media outlet with additional freelance writing. And it doesn't have to be on that club either. You could go off and do whatever you want. But it basically allows you to create a constant stream of income, which you just can't do if you're on 24, 25 grand a year and that's your whole job.
Would there be some sort of like non-compete clauses in the contract that would prevent you from being able to work for other titles? Is that what you were referring to earlier?
I mean, I have previously in previous roles been not allowed to work for anyone else whilst being at an outlet. That's not necessary to say I didn't, because, you know, we all need to top up our income. There is a lack of flexibility within the current model, and both in terms of earning potential, but also in terms of letting your writer push the direction of travel for the coverage of the subject that they are paid to be an expert in.
Right, I'm with you. Okay, so just really to tie this up with an example for a moment, one thing I've neglected to mention until now, Sam, is that originally, I don't live there now, but originally I'm from Gillingham, which you should know well, being a Swindon fan. There's this long-standing rivalry between the two clubs going back a long time. I don't know the full story. I'm sure you could enlighten me. But if I wanted to start up a sports journalism title in Gillingham, I could get in touch with you at Counterpress. What would be the next steps? Walk me through it.
Yeah, sure. So for early adopters, there would be a series of conversations to ensure that the those coming in understood what the premise is. Basically, a similar conversation to the one that we've had over the last half hour.
Yep.
There is a small contract that requires signing, which is it's not wordy, and is basically relates to ensuring a certain level of quality and sticking to a certain level of pricing. Ultimately, that may be something that we come to address down the line if and when it grows, but it's basically a contract that allows the license to be given. Once that's agreed, we would go through an onboarding process. I hate that word, but my devs have got me using it far too much, which is to get the brand sorted. So we would go through a process of discussing the demographics that it's targeting, the region, the audience, talking about history, names, colour palettes, and then talking the individual around the dashboard, which obviously will evolve as we go over the coming months. But these individuals would be coming in on the V2 dashboard when it's released, which we don't have a firm exact release, but we're hoping for spring. And then they'd be ready to go. Yeah, not arduous, but enough to ensure that the product that is going to be launched does have that power of recognition within the audience that it's trying to target.
Right, because the networking, as you've alluded to, is very important, and you want that to come through. That makes sense. So it doesn't sound too much like pulling teeth. The Moonraker, though, how much maintenance does that require from you these days? Like, how much upkeep is it? How much are you posting on there? You know, what's the level of commitment that you need to do this?
I think that's the beauty of it. The level of commitment depends on what your audience behaviour is like and what they will expect of you. We've grown up in a world where volume has been the expectation of digital audiences, and they've also expected volume for free. So an element of this is retraining that audience or finding out what the level of content is that people expect and that they will class as value for money for how much they're paying out. Moonraker, as I say, in terms of hours per week, is roughly a day and a half of my time. It frequently doesn't publish on a given day. It really doesn't publish very much at all on a Sunday. The number on any given day depends on whether I'm publishing news or whether I'm publishing comment or analysis or interviews or features. It probably averages out at one to two stories per day over the course of its lifespan so far.
Is it skewed more towards match days, like when match day is coming around, there's a lot more that you need to do, or...?
Not really. What I found is that different parts of my audience want different things. Some are much more focused on nostalgia, for instance. They want to hear about things that happened years ago and memories of the past. Some want news. They don't want any of the feature stuff. So they want me to be breaking information, which we do as well. And some want the more creative writing side of things.
Yeah.
Which is obviously sort of the match day stuff. So it really varies, and different parts want different elements. So it's about creating a blend which sees you retain an audience. So far, as I say, our retention rate on a month-by-month basis is around 93%. The split for our annual to monthly is about 35-65, so 65% are monthly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're doing a pretty decent job of retention through what we're producing. I'm in conversation regularly with my readers. I listen to them, emailing back and forth with them. They're in my DMs. They're sending me messages on X, on Blue Sky, or whatever. And I'm keeping across what they want to talk about. And if you're across your audience's wants and needs, then you're going to create a product that is of value to them. And if it's of value to them, they'll hang around. And that doesn't mean that you need to create 5 articles, 10 articles a day. But if you create 2, 3, 4 that are of substantially more value and are more long form than you'll get from the templates that are prescribed to journalists on some of the larger publishers' websites, then you're going to creating a very different product, particularly given our reading experience is infinitely better than anything you'll find on a Reach website, on a NewsQuest website, and so on.
I think that applies to news anywhere, but is value more of a commodity in sports journalism? Like, this is your bag for the last goodness knows how many years, but what's the focus on volume been like throughout your career?
So I've worked in loads of different newsrooms, and volume has largely been the driver in most of them, even where the quality was meant to be higher. So mm-hmm. I worked as the Southwest Football League reporter at PA for a year, and there was always a set number of stories per club that were in my area that I had to write. So I had to write a story per day on 8 or 9 clubs. I was at Mail Online for 2 years. And obviously we all know what the Mail Online desk is like. It was fun to work there, don't get me wrong, but there was a day there where I personally published 23 articles when I was at the Mail. Not all of those I wrote. Some of those were obviously builds from other reporters in the field, but typically on a weekday there, Mail Online desk in London would be publishing in excess of 150, 160 articles a day. And that was just sort of an average day. And that's what that model is about. And that's fine, but it doesn't serve a core purpose, particularly for the regions. You can't apply that to the local regions and give something of value to your audience. And therefore, they don't mind if on any given Tuesday, they might not get something, because they know on the Wednesday they might get 2,500 words deep diving into the issues that are surrounding the stadium and how that is applying to them on a match day, and who's going to fix the turnstile situation when it doesn't work, and or why can't we get any hot drinks in one of our stadiums or one of our stands in the stadium, and this stuff that is much less glamorous maybe to talk about, but it is the cornerstone of local reporting, and it comes as part of sports reporting too. It's not just a news thing. And although the counterpress model could in theory down the line apply for news as well, it's about providing the ability for journalists to report on the stuff that the community actually wants the journalist to report on.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple, really.
Those feel like answers to very real questions, if I can put it in any other terms, Sam. Whereas I'd think that when you've got a high quota to fill, you're looking just for any sort of comment to react to, any sort of rumour to go off, anything that could generate a headline. So
yeah, well, anything that generates a headline, anything that generates the necessary click through. But the difference here is I'm not looking for click through. Yeah. I don't really mind if I have days where my page views are in the low to mid hundreds, because I know that those low to mid hundreds are all people who are coming back the next day and the next day and the next day, and they're paying for that service as well. I don't need to have someone coming in from any old part of the world because they've got interested by something on social, spending 10 seconds reading something that doesn't improve their knowledge base, that doesn't entertain them, that doesn't give them any sort of reason to come back, and then disappearing and never coming back to that website again. There is no purpose to those beyond satisfying advertising impressions. And even then, I'm pretty sure advertisers would tell you that just fulfilling those impressions for the sake of fulfilling those impressions isn't going to necessarily generate in the sort of conversion they want. But it just doesn't need to be the case for regional media. We don't need to think as big as we have been thinking for so long about regional media. We need to think small, think value, and think about the people who we're meant to be serving.
Got it. One last question from me, Sam. You said your readers like nostalgic content, right?
Yep.
Have you done yet an origin story about the rivalry between Swindon and Gillingham?
I haven't yet, and it's certainly one that should be in the pipeline, because it is it's one of the strangest rivalries in lower league football, one that...
Because they're nowhere near each other.
Oh, no. It's, what is it, 150 miles apart? Yeah, I mean, it goes back to a couple of nasty games in the 70s, 80s. It goes back quite a long way, actually. But yes, that is a good idea. And Swindon are playing Gillingham, obviously, very late on in the season. So maybe there'll be time to put one together for that.
One for your pipeline then, hopefully.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, Sam, listen, thank you ever so much for this conversation. I've learned loads and really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
The takeaway for today is this. There's a bit of a Substackification of news going on at the moment, isn't there? Substack and its rivals, Beehive and Ghost, are ushering in a slew of news publications that are all achieving pretty much the same thing, targeting a really specific community, in this case supporters of a football club, and going directly to them with richer content than the established competition, while giving journalists a bit more breathing room. Counterpress is an interesting alternative, as it's made by a journalist who understands the pressures on the profession, and it's not the only one either. Before Christmas, we heard about a tech publication called Machine that was also aiming to leverage this creator trend, appealing to audiences and trying to bring more individual journalists on board. But whether these writer collectives or entrepreneurial media outlets really stand the test of time will be a big focus in the year ahead, and I'd love to know if that's something you're weighing up for yourself. Let's continue the conversation. I use LinkedIn the most. Search for me, Jacob Granger, or you can email me on jacob@journalism.co.uk. You can also check out all of our episodes on all of your usual podcast platforms like Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Just search and subscribe to the journalism.co.uk podcast. But that's all we have time for this week. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.